You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith, amateur radio operator W0NX, featuring the June 2025 The Spectrum Monitor. We'll begin with RF Current, news from the world of communications by Ken Reitz, KS4ZR. Ongoing U.S. AGM farce. It's now possible to think of the U.S. Agency for Global Media, USAGM, as a sitcom along the lines of the popular late 70s, early 80s American comedy TV series WKRP in Cincinnati, the hilarious story of a fictional radio station run by a collection of misfits, slackers, and wannabe journalists. For this month, here's the basic script. A federal appeals court ruled that the 1,000 Voice of America journalists fired by the Trump administration can resume work. No, wait, they can't. But it doesn't matter, because VOA will now broadcast content from One America Network, an unabashedly pro-Trump media outlet. Cue the laugh track. On March 14th, the Trump administration dismantled the U.S. Agency for Global Media with the stroke of Sharpie on an executive order, EO. Nearly every affected USAGM network sued, and U.S. District Judge Royce Lamberth, who was appointed to the bench by Ronald Reagan, granted a preliminary injunction in late April, saying that the EO was arbitrary and capricious and likely exceeded the president's authority. The Justice Department appealed the ruling, and on May 1st, a federal appeals court, which included two Trump appointees, found that Lamberth lacked jurisdiction to order VOA workers back to work. Then Reuters reported on May 7th that USAGM senior advisor Kerry Lake, in a post on X, said that One America News Network would provide what was called news feed services to VOA and other U.S. government-funded media outlets. Two images on this page show first a concrete building with a satellite dish in the foreground. The caption reads, Voice of America's Edward R. Murrow Transmitting Station, Greenville, North Carolina, with a curtain shortwave antenna in background. Photo by Thomas Witherspoon, K4SWL. The other image shows plastic bags in the background. The text reads, Radio Free Europe, REM. The caption reads, REM album art for their Radio Free Europe 2025 remix, courtesy REM. Back to the text. VOA USAGM office headquarters for sale. Having canceled the contract on the new VOA headquarters, USAGM is selling its old headquarters, the building known as the Wilbur J. Cohen Federal Building, at 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C. According to a report on Bloomberg, it's the latest in a series of high-profile buildings placed on a list for accelerated disposal. Designed by architect Charles Z. Clauder, it was built at the end of the Great Depression from 1939 to 40. The original occupant was the U.S. Social Security Administration. The Social Security Act was passed in 1935. The building became VOA headquarters in 1954. Made of limestone and granite, in the Egyptian Revival and stripped classicism style, the building features New Deal murals and sculpture, with a classical facade with Egyptian Revival details, according to the listing by the Government Service Administration. A photo associated with the listing shows more than a dozen large satellite dishes and numerous antennas on the top of the building. No price is given in the listing. At the top of the next page are two images. One shows the front of a building with three flags flying in front of it. The caption reads, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty Headquarters, Prague, Czech Republic. Photo by Scott via Wikimedia Commons. The other image shows a map of the area, including Tibet, China, Bangladesh, Indonesia, Malaysia, and the Philippines. The text reads, Coverage Area of Radio Free Asia, Binar News. Estimated weekly audience of nearly 60 million. Budget of $60.8 million fiscal year 2024. 400 full-time staff. 500 stringers and contractors. The caption reads, RFA broadcasts to 6 countries in 9 languages. Binar News broadcasts to 5 countries and the Pacific Islands in 5 languages. Both are funded by Congress through the U.S. AGM. Courtesy Radio Free Asia. Back to the text. Meanwhile, rock band REM re-releases Radio Free Europe in support of Radio Free Europe. A press release from Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty on May 2nd noted, The release of the single Radio Free Europe in 1981 introduced the alternative rock band REM to the world. It also reminded the world of the role the U.S.-funded broadcaster plays in building democracy in countries where a free press is banned or not yet fully established. To mark World Press Freedom Day on May 3rd, the band has announced a special reissue of the single to celebrate the upcoming 75th anniversary of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, amid a fight over winding down operations at a number of U.S.-funded broadcasters in what is seen by many as an attempt to silence pro-democracy media. Whether it's music or a free press, censorship anywhere is a threat to the truth everywhere. On World Press Freedom Day, I'm sending a shout-out to the brave journalists at Radio Free Europe, said Michael Stipe, lead singer and a founding member of the band. The press release explained, RFERL, along with other government-funded broadcasters, such as Voice of America, Radio Free Asia, the Office of Cuba Broadcasting, Radio Marti, and Middle East Broadcasting Networks, have come under dire circumstances since U.S. President Donald Trump signed an executive order that gutted the U.S. Agency for Global Media, USAGM. The USAGM is an independent government agency that oversees several U.S.-funded broadcasters, which together distribute news and information in almost 50 languages to some 361 million people each week. Hours after the executive order was published, a letter from the USAGM said the Congress-approved grant that funds RFERL, headquartered in the Czech capital Prague, had been terminated, a move the broadcaster is currently fighting in court. Trump, who has taken several moves to slash government spending since taking office for a second term in January, clashed with the USAGM over editorial independence in the direction of programming during his first term. He has reiterated those concerns again since retaking office. But supporters of the broadcasters say they are an important arm of U.S. diplomacy, and their silencing will be celebrated by the authoritarian regimes they expose. To me, REM's music has always embodied a celebration of freedom, freedom of expression, lyrics that make us think, and melodies that inspire action, said RFERL President and CEO Stephen Kappus. Those are the very aims of our journalists at Radio Free Europe, to inform, inspire, and uphold freedoms often elusive to our audiences. We hold people accountable, especially those threatened by the truth. They go to great lengths to silence us, block feeds and websites, and even imprison our colleagues. Lyrically, REM's Radio Free Europe has been interpreted as a commentary on the desire for authentic information amid a landscape of misinformation. The upbeat and jangly sound of the music contrasts with heavier themes to capture a spirit of resistance and hope. On the other hand, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty reported on its website May 2nd, a federal appeals court has granted a temporary stay of the court rulings requiring the Trump administration to cease blocking the flow of congressionally approved money to several publicly funded broadcasters, including Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, that provide news and information to countries that have little to no independent press. In the latest round of a funding battle with the Trump administration, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit, late on May 1st, issued what is known as an administrative stay to give sufficient opportunity to hear emergency motions presented by the Justice Department on behalf of USAGM. Those emergency motions argue that the appeals court should suspend for the duration of the appeals process the earlier lower court rulings that stopped USAGM from cutting off funds from the outlets as part of its cost-cutting measures. On the next page is a collection of images showing the corporate logos for iHeartRadio, Townsquare, Cumulus Media, and Odyssey. The caption reads, "Left to right logos courtesy iHeartRadio, Townsquare Media, Cumulus Media, Odyssey." Back to the text. Radio Free Asia continues limited information. On its website, Radio Free Asia explains its current status. On March 15th, the U.S. administration terminated funding for Radio Free Asia, so we are now operating with fewer staff. We are still providing limited news updates on our website and social media. Thanks for your continuing support and for trusting in RFA. The RFA website features a political cartoon showing the autocratic leaders of Myanmar, China, the DPRK, and Cambodia raising their wine glasses above a smoldering radio labeled RFA with the caption, "Now, this is the sort of news we like." RFA noted, "Silencing key providers of information on U.S. adversaries and sources of American soft power has accomplished what China, North Korea, and others have tried and failed to do for more than 25 years. The Business of Radio 2025. 2025 has been a year of chaos and uncertainty in the U.S. economy. Coming off an election year that saw record amounts of money spent on media throughout the year, on top of unprecedented amounts of advertising money generated from gambling interests, cashing in on the nearly nationwide use of gambling apps that allow betting in real time on sporting events, one might think that the U.S. commercial radio industry is well positioned to ride out these shaky economic times. This is not the case. And while radio company share prices plummet, CEOs are handsomely rewarded with lavish salaries, bonuses, and favorable stock options. But as shown below, these companies have been on the slide for years, not just in the 2025 slump. The iHeartMedia saga. According to its website, iHeartMedia is the number one audio company in the U.S., reaching 9 out of every 10 Americans every month, and with its 250 million monthly listeners, has a greater reach than any other media company in the U.S. In commercial radio, it doesn't get any bigger than iHeartMedia. It owns more than 870 U.S. radio stations, with its iHeartRadio digital service available across more than 500 platforms and 2,000 devices, including smart speakers, smartphones, TVs, and gaming consoles. And it's the number one podcast publisher. Surely this has investors clamoring to get in on this industry giant. Not so. As this is written late April, iHeartMedia stock trades at $1.06 per share, down 45% year-to-date. Since its high $27.36 per share, June 2021, the value of iHeartMedia shares has fallen 84%. Total compensation for iHeartMedia CEO Robert Pittman in 2024 was almost $13 million. Cumulus Media leaves NASDAQ to OTC. With more than 400 radio stations in 84 U.S. media markets, Cumulus Media has left the NASDAQ exchange for the over-the-counter OTC exchange as of May 2nd. According to several media reports, the company had been issued a delisting warning from NASDAQ because stockholders' equity had fallen below the $10 million requirement to maintain its NASDAQ listing. The company has seen the value of its shares lose more than 90% over the last 3 years, when shares peaked May 6, 2022, at $15.44 per share. As this is written, Cumulus shares are trading at 20 cents per share. A report in Billboard magazine quoted company CEO Mary Berner saying that the advertising environment remains uncertain. What is certain, however, is her compensation package. According to company filings in 2024, Ms. Berner received $1.45 million in salary and a bonus of $1.37 million, presumably for a job well done. Town Square Media. This lesser-known radio industry giant owns 349 U.S. radio stations in 74 markets and ranks third among U.S. radio stations. At least, at $6.58 per share in late April, Townsquare stock isn't in the penny stock list. Like its peers in the industry, though, things have been tough, with Townsquare stock falling 30% since the start of the year. But a year ago, this stock was worth almost twice as much at $12.55 per share. Meanwhile, the CEO at Townsquare received a salary and compensation in 2024 worth over $3 million. Two other top Townsquare executives received $3 million combined in 2024. Over the last 5 years, Townsquare Media stock has fallen more than 42%. Odyssey. Like all other commercial radio entities in the U.S., the company, known now as Odyssey, leads a train of past radio entities, reflecting the successes and failures within the industry over the passage of time. Stepping back to 2010, Radio.com was part of 130 CBS-owned stations, and through various mergers and acquisitions, the company Intercom acquired CBS and the Radio.com brand in 2017. By 2021, Intercom and Radio.com rebranded as Odyssey, which owned 220 radio stations across 47 markets and a popular podcast service. By January 2024, Odyssey filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. This has been a familiar routine in the U.S. commercial broadcast industry. Cumulus Media had filed for Chapter 11 protection in 2017, and iHeartMedia did likewise in 2018. By the second week of February 2024, Odyssey's stock had dropped to 7 cents per share. In September 2024, a bankruptcy judge approved a complicated restructuring plan that would take Odyssey private, and according to media sources, CEO David Field would get 2 years base salary, $1.35 million per year, plus a $2 million one-time payout. According to a report on Bloomberg, September 30, 2024, the company's radio station licenses were transferred to a nonprofit funded by billionaire George Soros, considered a Democratic Party megadonor by Fortune magazine, under the previously Democrat-controlled FCC, which has caused a backlash at the now Republican-controlled FCC, with Chairman Carr launching investigations into the transfer as well as individual Odyssey stations for other issues. Salem Media gets a Trump bump. Salem Media Group began over 50 years ago as a commercial broadcast company offering Christian programming, now broadcast over 117 radio stations in 38 markets. Like all other such publicly traded companies, 2025 was not looking good. At the start of 2025, Salem Media shares traded at 73 cents per share. As the year progressed, shares continued to dive, bottoming out at 44 cents per share on April 14th. Then on April 15th, it was announced that Donald Trump Jr. and wife Laura had struck a deal with Salem that would make Donald Jr. a significant shareholder in Salem, according to a report in InsideRadio.com. That day, shares jumped to $1.75. Salem had attracted little attention prior to April 15th, with daily trading volume as low as 1,200 shares. On April 14th, trading volume topped 3.7 million shares. Connoisseur Media absorbs Alpha Media, grows to 218 stations. A press release May 5th by Connoisseur Media announced the acquisition of Alpha Media. Connoisseur Media is a privately held media company which owns 11 radio stations, primarily in Nassau, Suffolk, New York, and Metro Fairfield County, and New Haven, Connecticut. The acquisition of Alpha Media adds 207 stations in 47 U.S. markets to Connoisseur's station list. The acquisition, pending FCC approval, catapults Connoisseur into the top 10 of U.S. radio conglomerates by station count and revenue. According to a report in Radio World Online, in 2021, Alpha Media filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy due to its $250 million debt load. Radio World Online also noted that Alpha used an AI DJ at one of its Portland, Oregon top 40 stations in 2023. Australian hip-hop station had AI DJ for 6 months and nobody noticed. In what amounts to a de facto proof of concept, CADA, an Australian radio network, ARN, hip-hop radio station, broadcasting from Sydney and streaming live on the iHeartRadio and MyTuner apps, had a four-hour Monday-to-Friday morning show called Workdays with Thai, which used an on-air personality developed by a voice cloning company called 11 Labs. We'll continue this article next time. Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.